Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, a deeply involved shooting in Baltimore. Black woman shot and killed, holding her child. Child also shot, wounded, but will live. We will hear from the police chief and examine this stunning, stunning story. Strong words from President Obama. He says, point blank, Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States. We will play the comments for you. Can't wait to hear what Paris Denard has to say about that. And the NYPD making headlines. Guess what? The police commissioner is resigning, but also a state assemblyman demands an apology from Bratton for being roughed up by cops when he was trying to calm down a situation. We'll talk to Assemblyman Michael Blake right here on TV One. Also, the National Urban League kicks off their conference today in Baltimore. We'll talk to CEO Mark Morial. All of that, News One Now, starts right now.
We discharged one round at her. In turn, she fired several rounds back at us. We fired again at her, striking and killing her.
That was Baltimore County Police Chief Jim Johnson describing the events that led to the death of Corrine Gaines on Monday in suburban Maryland. A 23-year-old mother was shot and killed while holding a shotgun in one hand and her 5-year-old son in the other. A six-hour standoff began around 9:30 Monday morning in Reynoldstown, Maryland. Officers were attempting to serve arrest warrants to both Gaines and her boyfriend, Kareem Keehan, who lived at the apartment. After receiving a key to the apartment from the complex manager, the SWAT team opened the door and could see Gaines sitting on the floor with a shotgun and a child nearby. This is video that Gaines actually shot during the actual standoff. This is from her camera. Her child's next to her. You see the officer in the doorway. This was her boyfriend.
The male occupant of the home exited the home with a child. We do not know why he didn't take both children. One child, he exited the home and was taken into custody on the outstanding warrant. At approximately 4 p.m, she again brought the weapon up to the ready position, announced to one or more of the tactical team personnel, if you don't leave, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. At that point, a tactical officer discharged the round. We do not know if that round struck Mrs. Gaines. She in turn fired several rounds at us of double-aught buck. No officer was struck. Our personnel returned 3 rounds of fire, striking her and killing her. Obviously, as we immediately went in to render medical aid and assistance, we detected that the child was injured as well. We do not know at this moment in time if the child was struck by our round, her round, shrapnel from our round, shrapnel from her round. We do not know at this moment in time.
The child was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries during the standoff. Gaines posted several videos on social media. We showed one of those. In one of the videos, Gaines' 5-year-old son answers her eerie questions about the standoff.
What's happening right now? Who's outside?
The police.
And what are they trying to do? It's charging. What are they trying to do?
They trying to kill us.
I'm sorry, dear. I can hear you. You said no.
It's good. Do you want to go out there?
No.
Oh. Okay.
5 weeks ago, Gaines had a run-in with other police officers. She also recorded that video.
You will okay, have to murder me. You will have to murder me. So go ahead and get ready to do that. You will have to kill me. I promise you.
will go. You guys will take me away from here in a body bag. Do you look at me in my eyes? You guys are gonna take me away from here in a body bag. I promise you.
Okay, ma'am. We'll see.
Joining us is Maryland Public Television reporter Charles Robinson. Charles, first and foremost, how is did the chief explain why the SWAT team was used to execute a warrant because of a traffic violation?
This has been one of the strangest anomalies that we've seen, because there's really no justification for the police basically storming into her apartment. They were really going after her boyfriend. As you showed the video of her stop back in March.
Charles, 1 second. They were going after her boyfriend for what?
A warrant. He had a warrant against him.
The warrant was for what?
The actual apartment. But the bigger problem here is that I don't think it's any question that she was mentally unstable. What we have learned is that she did have a lead poisoning suit that was moving through the courts. You know, if you go back to the Freddie Gray case, he also had issues with lead poisoning, and many of the people who come from the inner city and move to the suburbs bring all their issues with them. The other problem was the incitement of, if you will, social media as she's broadcasting all of these events. Some people actually urging her, stand strong, sister, don't let them come get you. All the way around, there's a young lady who is dead. There's a 5-year-old who won't have a mother and a 1-year-old who won't have their mother. And I don't think we've gotten to the end of this process, because the police are going to have to justify what they did and how they did it.
What jumps out at me is the rationale for storming in, using SWAT to execute a warrant. I've seen other standoffs. There was one standoff, I think it was in Virginia, I believe, that lasted 4 days. And all of a sudden, this reminds me of the Kojima Powell story in St. Louis. If somebody says to a cop, you're going to have to murder me, shoot me, my first instinct is there might be something else going on here that's not normal.
Right. And think about this, Roland. We had a standoff at a television station here in Baltimore that lasted close to 12 hours. A guy dressed up in a panda outfit with fake bombs. It took them a long time, and they shot him in the shoulder. You know, the fact that this was broadcast via social media makes it both interesting and somewhat frightening, because, as you know, you've been in the social media game for a long time, and you know you can rally people to your cause. You can also incite people. It was kind of one of those things where, you know, you have a mentally unstable person who has a shotgun. Think about that, Roland. She legally purchased that shotgun. I'm asking the question, why would someone even consider doing that in lieu of where she was mentally?
All right, Charles Robinson, we appreciate it. Thank you so very much. I want to go to our panel, Payers and RGOP Communications Consultant, Ashanti Gola, our Political Director, Emerge America, A. Scott Bolden, Defense Attorney and Partner at Reed Smith LLP. I'm just trying to understand, why are you using SWAT team to execute a warrant even for the boyfriend? I mean, my mind says when you use SWAT team, that's for a serious, violent offender.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a tough one, Roland. Now, I'm going to tell you, because you may be mentally unstable. There is over-policing here. The guidelines for the Baltimore Police Department, the Baltimore County Police Department, allow that SWAT team when you are resisting arrest, when you are held up in an apartment. And the argument about the shotgun and the child and the broadcasting will make the argument for the police, ironically. There is over-policing. This was a disorderly conduct warrant, and that they were executing. Was it over-policing? Yes. Was it not using the best judgment? Yes. At the same time, you have a 5-year-old, you have a shotgun, the police are being threatened, and the video itself shows, well, they didn't storm that apartment.
Right.
They're standing there, actually.
But here's the deal, though, and this, because we've seen other instances as well. This is a perfect example of police using law enforcement tactics and dealing with potential mental illness.
But how would they know that?
No. But
she's mentally ill.
No. Here's the deal, Scott. This is using, to me, basic common sense. Okay. This is basic common sense. If I'm a cop, and I'm approaching, if I'm dealing with somebody who's a young woman with a 5-year-old kid
with a gun,
okay.
That's a very dangerous situation.
It is.
For everyone involved in that apartment.
It is. And so the question for me then becomes, who's talking to the person? Is it a hostage negotiator? Is it somebody who is a counselor? This reminds me of the black man a couple of years ago, elderly black man who was laying up in his bed, had a .22 in his hand. They wanted him to go to a nursing home. The cops were trying to sit here and get him out. They couldn't do it. They eventually stormed the place, shoot and kill a guy. He was almost 90 years old.
Under that scenario, you're absolutely right. There's got to be some judgment, some measured judgment. Here is very different because you've got a child and you've got a gun and you've got a recalcitrant and a resisting,
outwardly resisting individual.
How do they know this? She's mentally ill.
It's like, I agree with Roland because isn't there training for this? Like, didn't their training come to mind? I'm extremely bothered by how the whole thing played out.
But
and a lot
waited
of things.
6 hours. It's not like they
still aren't adding up.
Sean King posted something yesterday of a standoff in Virginia that lasted 4 days.
Yes.
4 days. Yes. And I understand 6 hours.
It's a judgment.
But here's my piece. I understand 6 hours, but death is death.
And you got a 5-year-old, you got a shotgun.
I understand.
And it may have been over policing, but that's a far more dangerous situation than any scenario that you've laid out. I'm usually with you, but on this one, this is a tough call.
But
police aren't going to have any exposure.
I'm reading the story right here. The mother of the woman killed during a standoff with Baltimore County Police said her daughter ignored pleas from her boyfriend to surrender. Paris, this is one of those things where also I then question, okay, if you're a police officer and the boyfriend had already come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're talking to the boyfriend, that's when you begin to say, hey, get the mother on the phone. I just think death is death. I mean, I understand the shotgun and the 5-year-old, but I'm also realizing that death is death.
This is a tough one, like I agree with Scott, because you have to deal with the judgment of the officers. When you have a gun pointed at you and woman
on the scene
with the child, you don't know the mental state. You have to make those tough calls. But the thing that troubled me the most was when she put her son in the situation as a parent, and the son's response to me was, I almost broke into tears, because he said, you know, what are they trying to do? And he said, they're trying to kill us.
When
we have 5-year-olds with the mentality, or they're pure response is that the police are trying to kill us, we have a bigger problem.
He's being told that by the mother.
But also keep in mind, he was in the car with her. He's seeing it, but he's also hearing it.
Right.
And again, I'm just looking at that particular person there. So, I mean, we'll certainly get more details on it. But I do believe that what has to happen in this country, we do have to have police who are looking at this whole issue of mental illness, because we're seeing more cases like this. Kojima Powell in St. Louis took place a couple of weeks after Michael Brown. Same thing. Young man steals 2 energy drinks. All of a sudden, he sits them down. They call the cops, and they say, this guy's mentally unstable. But we timed it. From the moment the cops arrived, it was literally 16 seconds when the car door opened to the first shot fired. And when they got there, he's yelling, kill me, MF, kill me. If I'm a cop, right there I'm going, I'm dealing with somebody who's not stable. Right. He had like a butter knife in his hand, and he literally made one step to the cops. They don't take retreat behind the car door. 2 cops unload almost 9 bullets into him, kill him. And you begin to say, the officers clearly say, well, he stepped to us, our life was in danger.
That's a very different situation. There'll be a full investigation of this.
No. It's a different situation. Different situation. But what I'm saying is, I think one of the things we have to deal with, same thing in Dallas. Cops go to the house. Mom says son is being unruly. Son is playing with a screwdriver. He's enchanted with a screwdriver.
Right.
2 cops say, sir, put the screwdriver down. Mentally unstable. Mom's standing right there. Cops fire. Kill the man. I think we do have a problem with mental illness in America, and police have to be trained. How do I deal with mental illness situations?
If they are aware of the mental illness. I don't know if this situation at the door scene that they were aware that she had mental illness, but I will say the police did, in my opinion, show some restraint in how they reacted to the situation.
I'm just saying, and again, they might have been appropriate in every single aspect, but I do believe again, we have to be pushing police departments to expand training when it comes to mental illness, because we're seeing examples of this all across the country. And again, death is death, and it's all final. Folks, when we come back with our headlines, talking about three top Democratic officials resigning from the DNC because of that. Also, Marc Morial, CEO of the National Urban League, joins us to talk about this year's schedule. Donald Trump gets blasted by President Barack Obama, saying he's unfit for the office. We'll chat with that. And also, we'll talk to an assemblyman in New York who was roughed up by cops when he was trying to help defuse the situation to the community and cops. All that, News One Now, 15 minutes after the hour, back on TV One.
Hello, I'm Brenda Lawrence, Congresswoman from the Michigan 14th District. You've got one vote. Use it.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Three big resignations from the Democratic National Committee, all of this due to the WikiLeaks fallout, dealing with, of course, the fight between Hillary Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders. The CEO of the Democratic National Committee, Amy Dacey, Chief Financial Officer Brad Marshall, Communications Director Luis Miranda, have all quit. Of course, you remember the first victim of the email scandal was the chairwoman of the DNC, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She resigned after many of the emails appeared to show favoritism towards Clinton over Sanders. For now, Donna Brazile has taken over as the interim chair of the DNC. And again, you probably can expect more resignations in the next few days. In other political news, a federal judge has blocked the enforcement of a North Dakota voter ID law in the upcoming presidential election, deeming it strict and unfair to Native Americans. This decision represents another victory for voting rights advocates and is one of many we've seen across the country in the last 2 weeks. Judges have also struck down or loosened the reins on voter restriction laws in Texas, North Carolina, Wisconsin, as well as Kansas. The attorneys for the man charged with killing 9 people at a Charleston, South Carolina church are fighting to keep him off of death row. The lawyers for Dylan Roof want the judge to rule that the death penalty and federal death penalty law are both unconstitutional. The ruling would then allow Roof to plead guilty and get life in prison. He, of course, is accused of killing 9 people at the Emanuel AME Church in June 2015. His death penalty trial in state court is set for next year. There's no date set for his federal trial. Speaking of the death penalty, Delaware Supreme Court has ruled the state's death penalty is unconstitutional. In a ruling Tuesday, the state high court said Delaware's capital punishment law violates the U.S. Constitution because it gives judges, rather than juries, the final say to impose a death sentence. The Delaware ruling stems from a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision that struck down Florida's death penalty scheme. Folks, expect a whole lot of information the next time you hit the grocery store. Under a new law, food labels must declare whether or not the items contain genetically modified ingredients. President Obama signed the bill into law on Friday. In a recent study, researchers did not find any evidence that genetically modified organisms pose a hazard to human health. But advocates say the public does not have access to a lot of information about what's in their food. The law requires companies to say that the food is produced with genetic engineering, in plain words, on the package, with a QR code, website information, or a 1-800 number. Opponents argue this type of labeling discriminates against lower-income families who may not have access to the technology required to learn further details. Y'all, seriously, I don't understand. Don't try to sit here and pimp low-income folks. First of all, I mean, no, seriously, when you see this, the food industry does simply not want to reveal these details. But I love it how all of a sudden, low-income folks don't have access to the internet, so they won't be able to research this stuff.
Well, the food industry discriminates against lower-income folks anyway. Mm-hmm. You have the food deserts one. If you go to a poor community and see what's offered in supermarkets and you go to a wealthy community,
right,
you can see that the wealthy community has healthier foods, if you will. And so the whole process of the food service industry needs to be take another look at how they treat different communities.
I mean, there's parts of Detroit that don't have mainline grocery stores, let alone them worrying about GMO food labeling. And so if they want to be concerned about low-income families, they should be concerned about low-income families not having proper access to healthy foods in the first place, let alone technology.
Bottom line, put it on a label. Right. Folks, the homeless Georgia teenager featured on a GoFundMe page will finally get his hands on $184,000 in donations. Recently, 19-year-old Fred Barley's story of riding more than 50 miles on a bike and sleeping in a tent to register for college classes went viral and folks wanted to donate. Casey Blaney, a woman who heard about Barley's story, set up a GoFundMe page for the student. According to Barley, the two fell out because he hired his own attorney and trustee to oversee the donations. Blaney claims a third party questioned parts of the teen's story. Barley contacted GoFundMe. They froze his account. More than 16,000 people, first of all, signatures were collected on change.org. Petition demanded the company release the funds. Barley posted an update on his Facebook page announcing a new agreement saying, quote, my attorney, Christopher Chapman, has gotten in contact with Wright Gammon. Ms. Blaney's attorney has come to terms so both parties are happy. I will be allowed to put it into a trust that covers both living expenses and help with my tuition. Mrs. Blaney would like to turn over everything to her lawyer and does not want anything to do with the trust account any longer. Together, my attorney and her attorney are working cooperatively to ensure that all assets donated go strictly to me and in the trust I agree with. Well, man, that's the way it should be. All right, folks, coming up, we'll talk with Marc Morial, CEO of the National Urban League, about their upcoming convention. Plus, we'll talk about our One Vote initiative, trying to make sure all of you are registered to vote this year's election. This is News One Now on TV One.
Hi, I'm Bob Johnson. You only have one vote. Please use it.
Wherever you are, your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, National Urban League begins their conference today in Baltimore. The theme of the four-day event, Save Our Cities. A number of speakers are lined up at the convention, but joining us right now is the CEO of the Urban League, Marc Morial. All right, then. So, Marc, how you doing?
Hey, man, good to always be with you.
So the focus is Save Our Cities. What plan are you issuing, advocating, speaking to this particular issue?
So we've got the Main Street Marshall Plan rolling, which is a comprehensive plan to deal with education, jobs, and justice. In that plan, we call for increases in the minimum wage, early childhood education for all, infrastructure investment in urban communities, increase small business lending. It's a $1 trillion 5-year plan. The banks got, if you will, their plan, and it's time for Main Street to have its plan. So we're advocating aggressively and strongly that beyond all of the conversation and rhetoric, what we need is a commitment to invest in urban communities, to lift these communities, south side of Chicago, west Baltimore, you name it, North Baton Rouge, across the nation. These communities need investment. They need jobs that pay good wages.
The presidential campaign going on, and I know you had invites out to both candidates. Either one speaking?
Well, Roland, yesterday we got a commitment from Tim Kaine, Senator Tim Kaine, who'll be here on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign. We extended an invitation to Donald Trump as a 501c3 nonpartisan organization. That's part of our obligation to have a level playing field. And the Trump campaign declined our invitation late yesterday afternoon. So Tim Kaine will be here. It'll be his first, if you will, campaign appearance by himself, not along with Hillary Clinton. And, we're excited. Our conferees are excited to hear what he has to say. For many, it'll be their first time meeting him. We'll not only have an opportunity for him to speak, but we'll also have a chance for him to meet with our leadership. So that will be taking place as we focus. There's a great interest in this campaign. We must vote. We will be emphasizing the importance of voting as an obligation, and also to send a strong message against this spate of voter suppression that we've seen at the courts. Have thankfully knocked down in North Carolina and in other states across the nation. This assault on voting rights is also going to be part of our discussion here in Baltimore.
You would think that Donald Trump would have accepted the invitation. He didn't go to the NAACP, always just talking about economics. President George W. Bush, in 8 years of being president, spoke to the Urban League 5 of those years. And so Republicans have often chosen to go to the Urban League before any other civil rights group. Was it a surprise to you Trump chose not to come?
You know, I would say this, Roland. We went to great lengths to make sure that the Trump campaign understood and knew that he was welcome to come here, even though Many of our members in their individual capacities are probably very offended by some of the things that he has said. I always believe that our community, right, is better off when candidates from all across the board come and talk to us, even if there's disagreement with their positions or disagreements with their candidacy. So we don't have him, and you're right. George Bush came a number of times to this conference, at our legislative conference. Mitch McConnell has come a number of times. So we try to create this level playing field for candidates. And I'd say this, the last three presidents, the last three people who won the presidential election have been to the Urban League in a year.
All right, then. Mark Morea, I would surely appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Roland. Good luck, man.
Appreciate it. Chat soon. All right, folks. Speaking of Donald Trump, he has had a tough 5 days, if you will, going back and forth with veterans over his criticism of the Khan family, of course, the criticism of him. Yesterday, President Barack Obama standing before cameras with the president of Singapore wasted no time basically saying Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States.
I think the Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president. I said so last week, and he keeps on proving it. And the question I think that they have to ask themselves is, if you are repeatedly having to say in very strong terms that what he has said is unacceptable, why are you still endorsing him? This isn't a situation where you have an episodic gaffe. This is daily and weekly where they are distancing themselves from statements he's making. There has to be a point at which you say, this is not somebody I can support for president of the United States.
Well, yesterday, Donald Trump was speaking at a particular rally, and something interesting happened. It's actually kind of weird. So a vet with a Purple Heart gave Donald Trump his Purple Heart. We've seen that happen before. But this is what Trump said.
Nice just happened to me. A man came up to me, and he handed me his Purple Heart. Now, I said to him, is that like the real one, or is that a copy? And he said, that's my real Purple Heart. I have such confidence in you. And I said, man, that's like big stuff. I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier. But.
Okay, you do know to get a Purple Heart means you're wounded in action. I don't know if anybody serving in the military wants to get wounded in action. It's also kind of interesting considering Donald Trump had not one, not two, not three, not four, but five deferments during the Vietnam War. Let's go to our panel. Scott.
Are you going to let me go first?
I'm trying to eat Paris. No. Paris is going to go first.
I knew that was going to happen.
Paris.
Yes, sir.
I always wanted one of these. This was easier. You never make light of a Purple Heart.
That's right.
That's the person you're voting for.
True.
That's, you cool with that? I mean.
I think that every candidate, every person is human, and you make gaffes, and you say things.
You make gaffes, or you sound like a complete idiot?
You make gaffes, and you might say things that you would not say if you run the tape back and look at it again.
Speaking of that, same rally yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Woman's there with a baby. Press play, Shelley.
Biggest in the world, a Chinese bank. Don't worry about that baby. I love babies. So. I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. The mom's running around like, don't worry about it, you know? It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Okay.
But look, look. We have the piggy bank. They have ripped us to shreds. Ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay.
Haven't you been in church and the baby starts crying and the usher comes in, like, get the child out of here? I think it was a joke. I think that...
The man said, no, she thought, no, I wasn't kidding. Get the baby out of here.
Listen, we take, there are bigger things in this campaign going on in our community.
You're right.
Dan, to
okay,
talk
you're
about
right.
baby
You're
crying.
Right. Have you seen an NBA letter from Donald Trump yet when he said, the NFL sent him a letter saying they were concerned about the debates? Have you seen the letter yet?
No, I haven't.
That was a lie. NFL said they never sent one. He said also he had no relationship with Putin, but he told George Stephanopoulos on Sunday that he did have a relationship, but multiple times in the last 3 years, he said he did have one. That's a big thing. He lied about that, right?
I think when you look at President Obama...
Did he lie about that? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Yes, he did lie about that, okay? In the same interview, Paris, in the same interview, he also talked about, again, his taxes, but he said, oh, Mitt Romney lost because a couple of minor things on his taxes. But he previously said he was going to release his taxes, but they say he's getting audited, but he's never actually released an audit letter to prove he's actually being audited.
Well, we just have to take people out their word.
Take who up for their word?
Everybody. Secretary Clinton, Tim Kaine.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean to take him for his word, even though he lied about the NFL letter, lied about Putin, lied about his taxes. Take him for his word.
Well, Secretary Clinton lied about the email service. She lied about why she had the emails and the different devices that she used. And the FBI director said that the man
is flat out lying. So again, though, Paris, I'm just trying to understand.
So Secretary Clinton's lies are okay.
For 5 days, if you've been battling a Gold Star family, why would you stand up at a rally and say, I've always wanted one of these, and this is easier? Do you not think that's offensive to people in the military?
I think that we need to focus on...
Do you not think that is offensive to folks in the military when Donald Trump has tried to make it a point of his campaign, oh, I'm focused on the military veterans?
It could be offensive to some
could
people.
Be offensive?
It could be.
When somebody actually says at a rally, God gave me a purple heart and I always wanted one of these, this was easier, when you get a purple heart because you've been wounded in action?
That could be offensive to some people.
Is it offensive to you?
It's not offensive to me.
Y'all go ahead.
No, it's extremely offensive because he made the comment about the Purple Heart, but then he's making fun of John McCain for being caught and being a prisoner of war, saying who gets caught.
Well, that
he's
happened battling... several months before.
It did, but he has not apologized for that.
And then now won't endorse him.
Absolutely.
Won't endorse
he has
him
not
in
apologized
his primary
for
race.
That. He said, he criticized
him. Why would he endorse John McCain in his primaries with the things? You don't have to endorse anybody.
Scott.
Here's the thing, though. John McCain... is like endorsing him, like standing behind him, and you're not going to endorse John McCain?
I wouldn't say he's standing behind him. I think that sometimes you do what you got to do for political reasons.
You mean like what you're doing right now?
No, I am proud to support Donald Trump.
You are proud to support the guy who sat here
in a 116 interview.
Just lied repeatedly and then said, well, I didn't say it. Scott, go ahead, Scott.
Roll that tape.
I've always wondered why Crooked Hillary and Lying Hillary to the Republicans, why we don't label Donald Trump Lying Donald or Crooked Donald. The Republican Party is in a mess. Leading Republicans and contributors are defecting. In fact, Meg Whitman and others are supporting and raising money for Hillary Clinton right now.
The DNC is
I really wonder whether Donald Trump really does want to win, because this is not gaffes. This is repeated problems with this candidate, and he is unfit. And let me say this, and then I'll be real brief. In the general, you have to grow beyond that 19 million. And every one of these gaffes, every one of these problems, every one of these fights that he's picking with the party, as well as a five-star family, is sending the independents and those undecideds to Hillary Clinton.
That's not true.
I mean, the statistics and the analysis. analysis is. Of saying that.
She's not over a 9-point lead against him nationally,
Paris. If you don't, listen, if you hold on, if you don't grow, if you don't grow, you can't win.
It might be 15 points.
If you don't grow, hold on. If you don't grow in the general, you cannot win. And she has fewer electoral votes to get than he does. He's not trying to win this race.
Hold on. See, you can't
both have to.
Hold on, Scott. You cannot lie on this show. Right. His unfavorables are far higher than hers, and it's the highest unfavorables in the history of this kind of polling. Do not say it's just as high,
Paris. Getting
that
higher.
That is a lie. That is factually incorrect.
Right. And you're going to live.
Her unfavorables are extremely high.
Yeah, well,
hold on. You can say that, but don't say it's on par with his, because that's a lie.
And you know what? The other variables, Scott, she's way ahead 50%.
Here's a piece.
She's way ahead 50% or more. All the other variables count.
When we come back, we're going to give you the 10 states. Upcoming voter registration deadlines with our part of our One Vote campaign. Plus, we'll talk to an assemblyman in New York, roughed up by the cops, wanting an apology from the police commissioner. He said, "You ain't getting one." This is News 1 Now on TV One.
I am Eddie Bernice Johnson, representing the 30th District of Texas. You have one vote, the same number that I have. We got to use those votes. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
I'm leaving with reluctance. I wish I had more time chronologically to stay around for 3 or 4 years to work on the issues that are going to take that long to straighten out. I don't have that type of time.
New York Commissioner Bill Bratton stepping down after serving 2.5 years as the top cop in NYPD. Of course, now you also have the ascension of the first Latino cop there. This comes one day after Assemblyman Michael Blake demanded an apology from Bratton after he was roughed up by some cops on Sunday. First of all, we're going to be joined by Assemblyman Blake. Do we have him there, folks? All right, let's pull them up right now. Assemblyman Blake, glad to have you on the show. So, first of all, your immediate reaction to Bill Bratton resigning?
I think it speaks to, while he had a long tenure of service, I think people were ready for a change. It was absolutely time for a change, especially given the continual turmoil that's happened between the police and communities of color. People needed to see that kind of change of leadership for me, you try not to make it personal, but when you think about how I had my incident on Saturday of excessive force used against me, you call for a meeting, you try to create peace, you try to engage with the community and the police, and then an apology won't even be offered, and you're hearing that action won't be taken against the officer. I think it spoke volumes of where people feel that there needed to be a desperate change in terms of leadership.
Of course, so what took place on Saturday, here you were leaving an event where you're trying to better relations between the police and the community. You see a disturbance. You try to help quell that. Next thing you know, cops grab you, slam you up against the wall.
Yeah, I was on my way and walking over to the Morris houses to the family day. And I see there's a woman in handcuffs. Another woman is being walked away by a gentleman, unclear what the relation is between the gentleman and her. Speaking with a resident, speaking with officers, and all of a sudden a commotion happens behind us. So I go back over to try to calm people down, figure out what's happening. And within seconds, I'm in a bear hug and being slammed against the gate. Fortunately, I was recognized by other officers who told the officer to get off of me. But the reality is there are a lot of people that are not Michael Blake. They may not be recognized. What would happen to them? Reality is, if I wasn't recognized on that day, I don't know if I'm recognized today. I then walk away, have a conversation with another officer, ask them, why did that happen? Why was that level of force occur? Why was I slammed against a gate when I'm trying to figure out what's happening between my constituents and the officers in this community? They said, well, maybe it was a level of force or aggression you came with. And I said, well, don't put words into my mouth. That's trying to slander my name. I go over to the officer after they said he wants to apologize. And then it's communicated to me that the officer says, well, I apologize, but if the incident were to happen again, I would have done the same thing. And so you then wonder, what is the point? What was the point of some of these conversations if that's the perspective that's coming with them by some of these officers? So I filed an official complaint with the Civilian Complaint Review Board to say excessive force was used, which was obviously an occurred. I did a press conference on Monday to speak out against this, to demand change, to demand that we have to move forward, have to have transparency on training, have to have transparency on use of force, have to figure out how we hire more people that recognize the community. And after that, a brief meeting with Commissioner Bratton where he acknowledged the case. But an hour later, we then had a press conference where he said, no apology will be forthcoming from me, and that there'll be no action taken against the officer. It's the exact reason people said enough is enough, and that something had to change. They cannot continue to feel that this level of disrespect is happening. If they see this is happening to someone that's born and raised in the Bronx, used to be with the President of the United States, Barack Obama, for close to 7 years, is their local elected official, then what would they feel would happen to them? There should not be a different level of justice because of my name, because it's happening every single day to black and brown men across this country.
All right, Assemblyman Blake, we surely appreciate you joining us, sharing your story with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Roland.
All right, folks, we have been focused, of course, on the presidential election, 97 days until campaign day, not just that particular race, but also congressional races, Senate races, and local races as well. Our focus has been trying to get you registered to vote. And so what we're doing is we're going to grab 10 states every day for the next 5 days and give you those deadlines. And so let's go to our graphic here. State of Alabama. Alaska and Alabama. As you see there, the dates there, folks, y'all got 9th and 24th. You got a month. You need to put the month on there. But right next to, so October, 9th and 24th, dates for mail and in-person in Alabama. Again, you have until October 24th for those deadlines, okay? Let's go to the next state, Arkansas. You can't register online in Arkansas, okay? Arizona, you can. You have until the 10th, mail and in-person in those two states, Arizona and Arkansas. The 10th, Arizona is a battleground state this year, unlike in previous years. Let's go to our next slate. California and Colorado, online in California, the 24th, Colorado, the 31st. Mail, 24th and 31st. Colorado has same-day voter registration, November 8th. California, you have until the 24th. That's critically important. Colorado, also a battleground state. Connecticut, you have until November 1st to register online or by mail. You have an extra week if you register in person. Delaware, your deadline, online, mail, in person, October 15th. Florida residents, another battleground state. You cannot register online in Florida. Georgia is potentially a battleground state. Trump has put Georgia into play. That could go purple. And so the deadlines, the 11th, Florida and Georgia. So again, tomorrow as well as Friday and the next week, we'll have 10 states giving you those deadlines for you to be able to learn how to register to vote. There are no excuses. No excuses. Quickly to our panel here. I mentioned the story earlier, North Dakota. Looks like, Paris, all these federal judges are striking down voter suppression put in place by these Republican legislatures.
Looks like you're going to have more Democrats and independents coming over to support Mr. Trump.
I doubt that. No. Seriously.
I'm sorry. I just asked you about voter suppression efforts by Republican legislatures being struck down. Kansas, North Carolina, Wisconsin, North Dakota. I'm saying, when is your party going to stop trying to suppress the vote and say, let folks vote, as opposed to putting these onerous rules in place?
I think Mr. Trump is the type of candidate who wants to have more people participating in the process.
He hasn't spoken on any of the voter suppression laws. He hasn't said a word. He's benefiting from it.
That's the point. He's benefiting from it. I think he understands it. And I just looked up real quick.
Paris, come on, Paris, really?
I looked up the unfavorables. Hillary Clinton, 54%. Donald Trump, 58%. Equally as high.
Oh, I'm sorry. My uncle was a math teacher, but equal means equal. 58 and 54 ain't equal.
Just as high.
Boy, you need to go on. Scott, go on here with your question. Scott, you got 30 seconds.
We need to look at, and our resources need to go on the ground on election day, because despite whether these laws have been struck down, look for the Republicans and these local communities. You're only as good as what's on the ground.
Shanti?
Yeah, you definitely have to have the voter education piece as well, because people are confused. Do I need this ID? So we need to make sure that the parties are
purposeful suppression on election day in these communities. Especially these hotbed states.
You say confused. Paris confused now. You talking about 58 don't equal 54. Well, that's first. And second, Paris. At least you can condemn voter suppression efforts by Republicans. Right. That did you actually read the North Carolina ruling, 83 pages? They said it was a laser-like focus targeting black people.
You know, I've said multiple times on this show that if we're going to have these laws, they need to be equally, to be fair, applicable to everyone, and free. If you're going to make
people vote. Well, they sure as hell ain't applicable to black folks. Because they were targeting black people because of 08 and 12. And thank goodness that federal judge struck it down.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Thanks a bunch. Wild Night Wednesday. Hell, this was Wild Night Wednesday right here. Comedians up next on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, y'all, what's happening? Of course, every Wednesday on the show, we try to have a little fun with our comedians in the house. So we've got a good crew here. We got some interesting stories to talk about. I think the last 45 minutes been Wild Night Wednesday. Listen to some of the craziness, but let's get right to it. Kyle Morgan's in the house.
What's going on, Ro? Good to see you today.
That's
sir.
A pretty pink jacket you got on right there.
Go. Don't start.
No, I'm just saying. All right, I'm just saying. That's boy. Go ahead. Okay. All right, Miss Gail's here. Miss Gail, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you, Ro?
All good. And great. Jay Phillips, that's a colorful bow tie, Jay.
Hey, brother. That's how I knew I was coming to see you today.
I got you. All
I had
right
to be
then
on my A game.
All right then. Did you bring a bean pie with you?
No, I did not bring
okay
a bean
I'm
pie.
I'm just checking. All right then.
Fair. I got some beans for you. Pinto
see
beans.
That? There you go. There you go. Wait a minute. I met one of Gail's relatives. She said, Lord, my aunt is country.
You said that. She
no
didn't say
yes
that.
She you did. No.
You better leave
no
me alone,
no
my bitch
yes
country.
She
no
did.
No, she wouldn't say that.
Gail, oh my God, she was killing me talking about how country you are.
No,
all right, y'all. I don't know if there was alcohol involved with this next video, but I sure hope there was. Otherwise, I can't figure out why this man is screaming about UFOs.
Aliens! Y'all need to be shooting that! Right here.
And they just cruel.
They looking at us. They dividing. They dividing them. We getting divided. Those are not for look at that shit. They are sitting. Y'all need to be calling damn news. They come down to the oh, they come to Earth. They're coming to Earth. Oh, they coming faster.
Yeah. Nah, that won't alcohol. That was cocaine is a hell of a drug. That's what that was
or
right
meth
there.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it was something, man. Matter of fact, I think that might have been one of them joints over there in one of them new medical states. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
where you'd be able to
Colorado, Washington State.
Yeah, absolutely. That looked like
my man was straight
there was some
high.
Yeah,
Quaaludes.
That was edible.
He was on some
seven Quaaludes.
He was straight high. I'm trying to figure out what are they street lights though?
Well, I knew quickly he won't black. Black folk don't stick around for no UFO. Nothing with letters. If we don't know what the letters stand for, if it ain't broke down, we ain't sticking around. Even the cameraman was sticking around. So,
all right, y'all. Gail will appreciate this next story. Some people turn the fans, air conditioning, cool water when they're hot.
What?
This woman turned to the Lord for refuge in the middle of an Arizona heat wave.
We need everybody to come together and we need everybody to pray. I don't care what state you in. I don't care what degrees you have in. Arizona needs some prayer. Arizona needs some help. Cause it's hot. It's hot and some of us can't take it no more. You see this wind? You see my shirt flopping around? It's still hot out here. And I still gotta walk. Lord, we need you. We need you.
Nah, Arizona needs some karma.
You know what?
I saw that poor thing bless
oh
her heart.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things. I'm telling you, so she needs a little help.
That's about the only thing that might calm down that heat in Arizona. I played golf in Arizona one day, and that was one of the worst decisions I ever did in my life.
It. Play it again.
Y'all leave that sister.
We need prayer. We need everybody to come together. And we need everybody to pray. I don't care what state you in. I don't care what degrees you have in. Arizona needs some prayer. Arizona needs some help. Because it's hot. It's hot and some of us can't take it no more. You see this wind? You see my shirt flopping around? It's still hot out here. And I still got to walk. Lord, we need you. We need you.
No, stop.
She reminded me of Color Purple. All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my own daddy.
Feeling.
Lord, see some water.
They must ain't got Ubers out of Arizona.
Why ain't you go inside?
Yeah, okay. Stop leaving alone. It's hot.
I gotta go to a break. We gonna
y'all
have a press
stop
session
at that
up
lady
here for Arizona. Back on TV One a moment.
Y'all need to stop.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
All right, y'all. Kyle Morgan, Miss Gail, Jay Phillips. Shelly, play it again.
Don't bring her back.
We need prayer. We need everybody to come together. And we need everybody to pray. I don't care what state you in. I don't care what degrees you have in. Arizona needs some prayer. Arizona needs some help. Because it's hot.
some half.
It's high. Some of us like, dang, ain't no more. You see this wind? You see my shirt flopping around? It's still hot out here. And I still gotta walk. Lord, we need you. We need you.
That's what gets to me.
We still got a walk. Lord, we need you.
She almost split her lip. That heat got
it's
her
so high. Now,
see that? You laugh. You need to stop.
I'm sorry, but okay.
You should behave.
Rose,
Lord,
you need to help
we
us.
Need you.
She,
you do need
she should have sent that
you
to you directly,
prayer.
Rose. She should have said, Rose, we need you.
You know, old Baptists pray for worse than that, though. They pray for now, the lottery number, stop. Everything. You know the weather ain't going to be out of the question.
Oh, my God. I think God is probably laughing at that one.
He is.
I think Jesus said that was funny.
He laughed at y'all, too. He laughed
that
it
was
up.
Funny.
I'm going to set up a GoFundMe
He laughed
account.
At all of us. You know he had a sense of him. He made all of us.
She need to get, her own misting machine. You know, the little fan, you press the button, and then they put the water in the tank. That's what she did. Y'all, I'm sorry.
Y'all, I'm telling you.
Okay. All right, y'all. Tomorrow on the show, that's just crazy. Tomorrow on the show, we got a special on race and policing. We're going to be releasing a national survey we did here at TV1. You don't want to miss it right here at News 1 Now. Holla!
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV1.